Ladies and gentlemen, Evangelist Billy Graham said, prayer is for every moment of our lives, not just for times of suffering or even for joy. Prayer is really a place where you meet God in genuine conversation, and there's nothing like it on earth. Amen, somebody. Please join me in reciting and reading the New Nicene Creed today. Write that down, technician, for today. All three. We believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible. My God, help us. This is deep stuff, folks. I hope that you're not just reading this in a perfunctory fashion because you have to. I hope that you truly believe this, because if you believe this in your heart, it will totally change your life, your heart, your spirit, your mind. And we believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, begotten from the Father, before all ages, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made. Now, you know, no man wrote this. Listen to me very carefully. Shakespeare or no one else could have created this story. This is so far above human ability that you know it comes from God. Of the same essence as the Father. Through him all things were made for us and for our salvation. He came down from heaven. He became incarnate by the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and was made human. Man could not have possibly created this story. You know it comes from God. He was crucified for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered, bled, died, and was buried. The third day he rose again according to the scriptures. You don't believe it? Watch this. You have to understand, back in those days, that a woman's testimony was not even respected. You know this was not a made-up story by the next things that I'm getting ready to say, and that I took the liberty to add, because it's in the Bible. He was seen alive by Mary Magdalene and the other women. First, by the way, the disciples and over 500 other brethren. He ascended to heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. Now, in the Apostles' Creed, it talks about how that Jesus descended into hell. And, of course, in the Apostles' Creed and in the Nicene Creed, it says he ascended into heaven. He will come again. That's the second coming of Christ, with glory to judge the living and the dead. Amen, somebody. His kingdom will never end. Glory be to God. And we believe in the Holy Spirit. the Lord, the giver of life. And may I humbly say to those of you who don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, please do not miss out on life how it should be and will be. He proceeds from the Father and the Son, and with the Father and the Son is worshiped and glorified. We just got through speaking, or rather singing, about God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit in the doxology. He spoke through the prophets. We believe in one holy, universal, and apostolic church. We affirm one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look forward to the resurrection of the dead. Yes, we do. And to life in the world to come. Yes, we do. Amen. Glory be to God. We're still dealing with the family verses. For if the family is not strong, the church is not going to be strong. The community, therefore, will not be strong. And the nation will not be strong, and the government will not be strong. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. We have dealt extensively with the wife. We have dealt extensively with the husband. And we're dealing now extensively with children. Everybody needs to be dealt with. We're going to deal with the parents next. And then we're going to deal with the devil who's at your dinner table every day. Believe that. While you're sleeping, the devil's over in that corner, wide awake. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. Typical teenagers always have to go the foolish route before they learn. But those of you who have been raised properly and right according to the Word of God, you know better. You don't have to be a typical teenager. I told my children, as I was raising them, the worst name I can call you is a typical teenager. A typical teenager. That's the worst name I can call you. Because you know better. You don't have to go the foolish route of your peers. You can rise above that and get over the bridge of troubled waters and land safely on the other side and be victorious and be a blessing and help to all of your teenager friends and young adults who are drowning. God wants you to be a lifeguard. And lifeguards are sober-minded. They're on point. They don't get caught up in peer pressure. They're not drunk like their peers. They don't go to spring break on the beach. They are there when they get back to deal with all of the guilt, shame, and pain of whoredom and foolishness and diseases and pregnancies and abortions to try to help people get through the foolishness of their sins. So don't make me call you a typical teenager. That's the worst word, a phrase that I can, that's the worst thing that I can call you. Stephen J. Cole writes in his commentary on this passage, There comes a point, of course, where children move out from under their parents' authority and are no longer obligated to obey them by law. However, if you have godly parents, as I have shown you from the scriptures, there's no age limit on obeying your parents. If you, young lady, you've been raised to love God, trust God, fear God, obey God, be faithful to God, you've kept yourself pure, you've gotten your education, and you got a good job, and you got your own place, and God has blessed you because of the foundation that God has blessed your parents to lay for you. And someone comes along with his hair tossed up in a million different braids with rubber bands and got earrings coming out of his ears and out of his nose, pants hanging off of his behind, and a T-shirt with no sleeves. And you want to bring him home to meet your father. And your father rejects him at the door and says, no, you can't date anybody like that. You can't marry anybody like that. Your father asks, does he have a job? Well, no, I'm taking care of him. No, we're not even going to even entertain that. Now, your father will tell you to go on inside the house, and the father will go outside the house, and hopefully your father will witness to him and tell him about Jesus instead of beating him up and kicking him off of his property. But whatever the case, you need to listen to your father. You don't have to. You can go through hell, and you can be involved with a man who does not care for you, who believes in having concubines, and is going to have several girlfriends along with you, if you want to, and have you crying in a fetal position in your sleep number bed, if you want to. But don't, you're not going to bring that into your father's house. He still loves you, but he didn't raise you to lose your mind. Okay, so there's no age limit on obedience. If he tells you that this is not the one, and he is a godly father, and that's all you know him to be, then you'll be wise to listen to him. But you don't have to. But you will have to suffer the consequences by yourself, because he's not going to go through that with you. Wise parents let the reins go gradually. You have to do that, parents. And it's very important that you do that. However you do it, if you're in the Lord, you do it gradually, you do it wisely, so that a young person assumes more and more responsibility for his or her own life until he is on his own. Now, I am old-fashioned, and I still believe that young women should stay home until they get married, or certainly near home, for their own protection and their own security, because there are lions, tigers, and bears and dogs out there who don't care nothing about you. All they want to do is literally rip you apart, sexually speaking, and they don't care for you at all. And if they can get you in a compromised position or rape you, they will do it, if they can get away with it. I want to make sure that I say that and be very clear about that. I believe young women should stay home until they get married. And yes, God can and will bless you with the husband he wants you to have if he wants you to get married. The truth of the matter is there are many women today who are not marriage ready, oftentimes because their mother has never prepared them to be marriage ready. And some are not even able to boil water, much less cook a dinner. Some have never cleaned house and don't know how to keep a house clean. By the way, it's not always about cleaning the house, beloved. It is about keeping the house clean. Okay? Keeping it clean. Some women don't even know how to shop for food. And some women have no desire whatsoever to submit to a man. And if you're not willing to do that, because you will have to if it's going to work. That's how God wired marriage. You can't change it to be what you want it to be. And it's not going to be what you want it to be anyway. It has to be God's way. And you'll find that out once you get married. No matter what kind of vows you concoct. So we got many women today who are not willing to do that, and if you're not willing to do that, you don't need to get married. And not to mention so many sorry men who don't know how to take care of a wife. You got some men don't even want a wife and family. They don't want the responsibility of that. They want sex, but they don't want to carry about a wife and take care of a wife and children. And quite frankly, you're not worth a flip. And nobody will tell you this, but at a certain age, if you don't have a wife and a family, sir, nobody wants to be bothered with you. I don't care if you like it, lump it, or choke on it. A man ought to have a wife. You don't have the gift of celibacy, and so you're not a eunuch. We don't have that. I'm okay with women staying single, and I don't blame them in this day and time. If you can make it without sex and make it without a man in your life and sneaking over to the house and all this kind of foolishness, then I say by all means to women, stay single. But a man needs to have a woman. A man needs to have a wife and needs to have the responsibility of raising children and taking care of a household. And at a certain age, you get 30, a little bit above, and you don't have a girlfriend, you don't have a fiance, you don't have a wife, a female wife, you're just not going to be trusted in society. I don't care if you like it, lump it or choke on it. That's the truth. I'm talking to all of you little metrosexuals, you little homosexuals and all that. You're not going to be trusted. Unless there's going to be a homosexual out there using you for his benefit. You're not going to be respected. I'm telling you to your face. I don't want to be bothered with no young man who does not have a girlfriend, does not have a fiance, does not have a wife, and you're 30-something years old. I don't trust you. I don't trust you. And there are many people like that, male and female. They won't say it. I'm telling you to your face. I don't trust you. I don't see you as a responsible individual. I don't care how well you dress. I can care less. A man ought to have a woman. I'm reminded of an old song from Great Britain. Man sung a song, talked about the name of the song was The Game of Love. And part of the lyrics go like this, that a man's purpose is to love a woman, and a woman's purpose is to love a man. Then it was a rock song, But he said it started back in the Garden of Eden. Amen, somebody. So, job number one for you, sir, is to get yourself a woman. Not be a homosexual. That is foreign to the scriptures. Amen, somebody. So back to the text. When is that? Allow me to get some context into this. Wise parents let the reins go gradually so that a young person assumes more and more responsibility for his own life. You got to do it. You parents who are still washing your children's clothes, you parents who still washing your children's dishes, you parents who still doing everything for your grown child, you need to sit down somewhere. Well, they would fall apart if I didn't do it. You need to sit down and let them. They need to go to the washerette, man. Well, we have a wash machine right here they can use. No, let them go to the washerette and wash their own clothes. But they're going to have to do it anyway. Let them fix their own food. Let them do the shopping while they're still in your home. If you're a good wife and mother and you got daughters and even sons, you are not to be lifting a finger at anything. If they're teenagers, you shouldn't be washing any dishes. Hear me well. You shouldn't be cleaning any bathrooms. You should not be washing any clothes except for your own. You don't want your children messing with your drawers. No, no, no. That's indecent. You don't. If you're a mother, you don't want your daughters messing with your drawers, your underclothes. That's just not proper. But they ought to be washing all the other clothes. They ought to be washing all the dishes. The boys ought to be doing all the yard work and taking out the trash. You ought not to be doing anything. After your child turns, I don't know, it depends, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, whatever, you'll not be doing anything. They ought to be doing it all. My daughters and my sons, they've done all the shopping for years. And on. So when they leave out, they know how to take care of business. They know how to shop. They know how to pay bills. They know how to wash their own clothes and so forth and so on. They know how to get up early and go to work and so forth. You're raising your children to be adults. So stop doing everything for them. Well, I love my children and I just want to keep on doing it for them. No, you're hurting your children by doing that. So, he needs to take care of his own life until he is on his own. And then he can take care of himself when he leaves. Same thing for young ladies if they choose to leave the home. Because you can't keep them if they want to go. And they have to learn things, no doubt. They have to go out there and learn things the hard way. And your job is to pray for them and to advise them. And don't wait for them to call, ask you for advice. Most young people are not going to do that. You may have to text them or email them or call them and remind them of the things you taught them. There's nothing wrong with it, and they may not like it, but you that's your job. To pray for them and to advise them. If God tells you to tell them something, tell them. You'll be amazed at how far it will go, even though they may not respond to it positively. But it's your job to do your job. So when is that? Is not at some arbitrary age. such as 18 or even 21. But a general rule of thumb is, if you are chafing under your parents' authority, you are probably not ready to be out from under it. Your obedience to your parents shows that you are living under the lordship of Christ and are mature enough to live apart from your parents' direct authority. And we'll deal with that point more on tomorrow morning, Monday morning, if the Lord tarries his coming and we live. Let's pray for the family. Holy Father God, we pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, help us not only to pray for the family, but to be about the family by being obedient in our roles in the family. Lord, even if others are not doing their part, help us to do our part for your glory, praise, and honor, and for the benefit of the family, and for the benefit of the church, and for the benefit of the community. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, our devotional Bible passage is Psalm 119, verses 57 through 64. The Bible reads, "Thou art my portion, O Lord. I have said that I should keep thy words. I entreated thy favor with my whole heart. Be merciful unto me according to thy word." Dene Light. "I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto thy testimonies. I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments. The bands of the wicked have robbed me, but I have not forgotten thy law. At midnight I will arise to give thanks unto thee because of thy righteous judgments. I am a companion of all them that fear thee." How about it, dear Christian friend? Are you a companion of all people who love God and fear God? "And of them that keep thy precepts. The earth, O Lord, is full of thy mercy. Teach me thy statutes." See, when you are basking in the mercy of God, and you understand the mercy of God, you have a heart that wants to obey God's word. Now, regarding this passage, Dr. Matthew Henry writes, "True believers take the Lord for the portion of their inheritance, and nothing less will satisfy them." I told some folks the other day that if you're not happy right now in God and through God, through Jesus Christ, you will never be happy. If you don't have the joy now, you don't have peace right now, right where you are in the situation you're in, because of God and through God, through Jesus Christ, you will never be happy. You'll never be satisfied. You'll never be content. You'll never have joy. And you'll never have peace if you don't have it right now in Him. For He is the only way to have all of that, regardless of the circumstances, regardless of the situation. The psalmist prayed with his whole heart, knowing how to value the blessing he prayed for. Do you value the blessing you pray for? Do you value the blessings that you prayed for? in the past, and God blessed you with it. We touched on this yesterday, and I've touched on it in the past. You need to thank God and value the answers to prayer that He's already given to you. He desired the mercy promised and depended on the promises for it. He turned from bypaths and returned to God's testimonies. Are you returning to God's word? He delayed not. It behooves sinners to hasten to escape, and the believer will be equally in haste to glorify God. Are you? No care or grief should take away God's word out of our minds or hinder the comfort it bestows. In other words, no matter what we're going through, nothing ought to take God's word out of our hearts and out of our minds. We need to continue to read God's holy word and hide it in our hearts and meditate on it. Because nothing will get you through a tough time in life like reading the word of God, hiding it in your heart, and meditating on it. And by the way, if you're going through a pretty good time right now, this is the best time to store up the word of God in your heart, because trouble is coming. And you're going to need the word of God already in your heart while you're driving down the road when you can't read your Bible. There is no situation on earth in which a believer has not cause to be thankful. No situation. Holy Father God, we praise you and we are thankful for your holy word. And I pray that you'll help us to love it, to cherish it, to obey it, and to live by it for your glory, your praise, and your honor. And we pray that you would help us to hide it in our hearts and to meditate on it. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. Join us in praying for the estates. You know what the estates are. So let's get to praying. Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for your church, the First Estate. We pray for all pastors. We pray for all evangelists. We pray for all ministers. We pray for all servants and workers and people in the church. And help us, Lord, to get away from praying for revival, like somehow we are, that you're going to do something for us without us getting on revival ground through prayer, through seeking your face, turning from our wicked ways, and humbling ourselves. So, Holy Father God, help us all to get back to you, Lord Jesus, to get back to our first love, and to repent of our evil works, and repeat the good works, and repeat the good works. And Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, also for all governmental leaders. We pray based upon your holy word, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, which says, I exhort therefore that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. And so, Holy Father God, as we prayed for every president by name since President Reagan, we pray now for President Donald Trump and his administration, Vice President Mike Pence, First Lady Melania Trump, Second Lady Karen Pence, all White House staff, including Chief of Staff for the National Security Council, Keith Kellogg, all leaders of federal agencies, including Federal Election Commission Chairman Stephen T. Walther, all state governors, including Delaware Governor John Carney, all city mayors, including Hialeah, Florida Mayor Carlos Hernandez. And we pray that you'll give all of these people wisdom from the president on down. And we pray that you give them knowledge and understanding, unblind their eyes, unstop their deaf ears, save those who are lost, revive those who are saved, have your Holy Spirit to never cease working on their hearts and minds and lives, and not give them rest until they come to know Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, as Savior. We pray for all members of Congress as well, including Alabama Senator Luther Strange, all law enforcement officials. I believe that Luther Strange has been changed to another gentleman, so let's get that corrected. The senator who's in that place. And we pray for Gilbert, Arizona Police Chief Michael Solberg, all military leaders, including Defense Secretary James Mad Dog Mattis, General Robert B. Neller, Commandant of the Marine Corps, leaders of nations around the world, including Japan's Prime Minister Shinzo Abe, for the peace of Jerusalem as well, the center of the earth, and Israel and Benjamin Netanyahu, a modern-day David. We thank you for his life and what he's done. And Holy Father God, we pray for the people, the citizens. Have your holy gospel and your holy word to continue to work on them, open their blinded eyes, unstop their deaf ears, and save their souls and change their lives. We pray that you lead, guide, and direct them to follow you. We also pray for the media, both the traditional media as well as the new media. We pray that you'll save the people who don't know your Savior, and encourage and strengthen the Christians who do, and help them to stand for what is right, and help all of them to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And Holy Father God, we pray for current events all around the world, not to inform you, but to be obedient to you and to pray for others beside ourselves. And Lord, we pray for the comfort of the families of 10 people killed in a plane crash in Manila, Philippines. Comfort them as only you can. We pray for the comfort of the families of the 6 people killed in the bridge collapse in Miami so far. Comfort those families as only you can. And we pray for the recovery of those who were injured, for the families of the 2 Navy personnel killed in a plane crash in Key West, Florida, as well. And we pray that family members would come to know your Savior through this tragedy, through these tragedies. Have your Holy Spirit to work deeply in their hearts and help them to hear the gospel from a faithful pastor or someone in the community in a loving way. And we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ now for the prayer requests that have come in. And we pray for the hundreds of people who have sent in prayer requests, that you will hear and answer their prayers and hear and answer our prayers for them. And we pray for a few by name, We pray for Carla. Please bless her with good communication and help her and her friend to trust each other. Please save her friend's soul. We pray for Laura in Worcester. Please bless her as a single mother. Provide her with a nice apartment to live in, enough money for her family, school supplies and clothes and shoes for her children. We pray also for Patricia. Please have Jarell, Gabriel, and Joy to come to know Jesus Christ as Savior. Fill them with the Holy Spirit and help them to serve you well. We also pray for those who have trusted you as Savior. We pray for them to grow in the faith and be the Christians you want them to be. Help us to be the disciples of the disciples that you want us to be. We pray for Ed. We pray for Kanika. We pray for Parika as well. We also pray for those who have recommitted their lives to Christ through the preaching of your holy word. We pray for Jonah. We pray for Jay. And we pray for Anthony. We commit all of these souls into your hands, and we pray for all of the hundreds of folks who have gotten saved through this ministry, and the hundreds who have rededicated their life to you through this ministry as well, with these same blessings. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and for his sake, amen. Ladies and gentlemen, our devotional reading for today is Tame Your Temper by Dr. Billy Graham. Jonah 4:4 says, "Doest thou well to be angry?" It is Sunday morning, and some of you are angry this morning because somebody crossed your way, as is common on Sunday mornings, getting ready for church. Some of you are angry this morning with your spouse. Some of you are angry with your children. Some of you are angry with somebody at the church. Or you're angry because things are not going as well as you would like. You have a temper, Billy Graham said. There's nothing unique about that. Most people have tempers, in varying degrees, of course. God does not ask that you get rid of your temper or your temperament, but he does say that if you are to be happy, it must be brought under control and rechanneled to proper use. God cannot use a man or a woman without a temper as well as one with a controlled temper. Too many professed Christians never get wrought up about anything. Now, wrought up is an old term that Billy Graham is using from the old days. They never get indignant with injustice, with corruption in high places, or with the godless traffics which barter away the souls and bodies of men. And we will continue this one tomorrow. But he is focusing on the fact that every now and then there are some things you need to get wrought up about. But God does not want you to get angry to the point that you sin and that you hate people and despise people and go on a silent campaign. Mrs. Amarpour, the journalist extraordinaire, did a special on sex in the world, primarily from a woman's perspective. And she was taken aback at how many sexless marriages there are, largely because people are angry and bitter at each other, hateful towards one another, where they don't even touch each other anymore. And she was taken aback at how common that is, that you got men now going to special women, going to special places. They're married, but going to these special places to get love, affection, and sex from other women that they pay hundreds of dollars for. It is not a traditional place of prostitution, even though that's what it is. But it doesn't look like that. It doesn't sound like that. Just because their marriages are sexless, touchless. They despise one another, but they stay married for various and sundry reasons. And many women don't, many people don't understand this, but it is a respectable thing, as I touched on earlier, for a man to be married. Men get many, many benefits from being a married man. And women do too, in society as we know it. And so many people stay in their marriages for many, many reasons, not only the children, but I think that's a worthy reason to stay in a marriage, for the children's sake. As rough and tough and as I am, even though my parents did not have a great marriage, as their oldest son, I thank God that my parents stayed together until death did them part. I'm very proud of my parents for doing that. I thank God my parents did not take me through a divorce and my siblings through a divorce, for we would have turned out worse than what we did turn out. And I told them that. I told them that. I give God the glory for that. So children staying together for children is a good reason. But it's sad to be in a marriage and you hate one another and you're so angry and bitter towards one another that you don't touch each other, that you got to go out and pay somebody to touch you and to show you affection. And, well, you know it's not love, so we can't even say that, and to have sex. Don't get that angry, people. Don't be that angry. And some of you folks, as you go to church, need to be careful, because some of you women and some of you men are looking forward to that hug from that certain somebody at the church when all you're supposed to be doing is passing the peace. But some of you are lingering on those hugs because you don't get any hugs at home. Some of you are lingering a little bit longer in those embraces because you're not embraced at home. You're not touched at home. And let me remind you, my beloved, you're in Christ's house. You're in the Lord Jesus' house. You're in the Lord's house. You're in the church. And you're not supposed to be trying to get love like that because you're not getting it at home. You need to get your loving and your embracing and your sex at home, not at church. Okay? So if you're going to church this morning for that reason, to feel loved by somebody, waiting for that, he'll be waiting for you. Because he knows what's going on. You know what's going on. And she'll be waiting on you too, sir. pastor, because you know there's some women who do some things for you that your wife does not do, like compliment your sermon, and they think you're the best thing since sliced bread. And you go to church for that hug, for that compliment that you don't get at the house. Be careful, for thousands have been destroyed by this thing right here of not getting your affection, your love, your embraces, your hugs, your touches, your sex at home. It's a very dangerous thing. Very dangerous. Let's pray. Holy Father God, we pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for this time that you have given us around your holy word now for 301 times in a row, which is a testament to your power, your glory, your grace, your might. And Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we give you the glory, the praise, and the honor. And we pray that you would forgive us of our sins, crush and crucify our flesh, fill us with the power of your Holy Spirit. And Lord, help us to take heed to what we have heard today, and over these past 301 days, to use it for your glory, praise, and honor. And also, Lord, we pray that families all across the country and around the globe would get back to old-fashioned family worship together, family devotions, family altar. And we pray that you would lead them and guide them and direct them to do that. By the thousands, by the millions, let your will be done. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. Now, beloved, as I leave you today, I will not sin against you by not sharing with you the gospel. That is my calling, I have no other calling but to share the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ with you. God has led me and blessed me to do some other things, but that's the main thing I do. That's what I'm wired to do, to share with you the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so if you were to die this moment, where would you go? Heaven or hell? Let me tell you right now that Jesus Christ, God's only begotten Son, came to this earth to die on the cross, to shed his precious blood, to be buried, and to rise again on the third day to save your soul from hell and to save your soul to heaven. Why? Because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God loves you. That's why he did what he did. God loves you so much, he wants to be with you throughout eternity. I know you're asking why, and I understand that question. Why would God want to be with us throughout eternity, as sinful and as evil and as wicked as we are? That's God for you. That's God for you. The love of God. So just humble yourself. Admit that you are a sinner. Admit that you have failed God. Ask God to forgive you of your sins. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, as the Bible says, and thou, you, shalt be saved. And pray and ask God to have mercy upon your soul as you believe on the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, who suffered, bled, and died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose again. And I'll be glad to lead you in that prayer called the Sinner's Prayer right now. For the Bible says in Romans 10:9-13, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Follow me in prayer right now if you want to be saved. And you know that God is tugging at your heart. The Holy Spirit is moving upon your heart. You feel a strange thing going on the inside of you. That's not going to be released until you trust Christ as Savior and pray and ask him to save you. Repeat after me and mean it from your heart. This is the most important day of your life, I assure you. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner. I am a sinner by choice, and I am a sinner by nature. And I admit that I have sinned against you. I have broken your Ten Commandments by lying to others, by stealing from others, by lusting at others, and dishonoring my parents, and many other sins, and wicked thoughts and imaginations. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my sins. As I now believe with all of my heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died for my sins, was buried, and rose again on the third day. Lord Jesus, I receive you into my heart. I believe your holy gospel, that you died on the cross for my sins, shed your blood on the cross for my sins, was buried, and rose again. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul and change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins past. Help me to turn from my old life and to follow you in the new life. In Jesus Christ's name I pray and for his sake, amen. Now, dear friend of mine, on this beautiful Sunday morning, the day that you got saved, if you just trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you prayed that prayer with me, and you meant it from your heart, I declare to you that based upon the Word of God in the Bible, you are now saved from hell and you're on your way to heaven. Welcome to the family of God, dear friend. I want to congratulate you on doing the most important thing in life, and that is believing on the Lord Jesus Christ and receiving him as your Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Until next time, my beloved, may the Lord bless you and keep you, is my prayer. And peace forevermore. I know that everything is
Just like you said you